Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read again with you verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For a few moments at the end of our service, I want to preach on the subject, the enemies of the cross of Christ. And of course, you can see that my text is found there in verse 18. It says at the end of that verse that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to deal with this subject. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the clarity of it. And we pray, Lord, now as we would seek to preach thy truth, that you would come and fill me with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We do pray, Lord, for each one here today without Christ, without God and without hope in this world. Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal unto them their great need of God's eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus. We need thee, Lord, to save, for we can't save. Salvation is of the Lord. O God, therefore we pray, work in hearts, draw sinners to Christ. We pray, Lord, that even in this service today, that there might be new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. At the beginning of this chapter, we have already seen how Paul described the enemies of the cross of Christ. He described them as dogs and as evil workers. Look at verse 2. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about the false teachers in his day who were seeking to spread a false gospel among the saints of God. And when we studied the beginning of the chapter, we found that out to be the case. These men were most certainly and most definitely the enemies of the cross of Christ. However, this phrase in verse 18, our text, the enemies of the cross of Christ, is not only describing false teachers and false prophets. It has a wider implication. You see, there are many who are the enemies of Christ, and they are not all found within false religions and false cults. Indeed, many who are the enemies of the cross of Christ are found sitting in God's house every Lord's day. And many of these people would even say that they are friends and supporters of the gospel of Christ. But of course they're not. They would claim to be good Protestants and good defenders of the faith. However, in reality, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Who are these people? Well, as we consider this text today, let us investigate who these people are and what it means to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Who are the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a question that we want to answer today. And I pray as we do so that you will listen very carefully to the message. And especially if you're in church today and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I want you to listen very carefully indeed. Because there is a message, a very clear and a very simple message here, a very solemn message here for your heart and for your soul today. First of all, I want to say this. This description here that we have is of every unsaved person in this world today. When verse 18 speaks about the enemies of the cross of Christ, it is speaking about every person that is in this world today who are not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God. You see, every unsaved person in this world is an enemy of the cross of Christ. The truth is, we are all born into this world an enemy of the cross of Christ because of sin. Therefore, if you're not saved today, if you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. There are only two types of people in this world. Those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. Those who are on their way to heaven and those who are on their way to hell. Those who are in the family of God and those who are outside the family of God. Those who are the friends of Christ and those who are the enemies of Christ. Therefore, if you're found in this service this afternoon and you're not born again of the Spirit of God and saved by the grace of God, then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. Now, you may not look upon yourself as an enemy of the cross of Christ. Maybe you've been born into a Christian home. Maybe your parents are saved. Maybe your brothers and sisters are saved. Maybe your mommy and daddy is saved, but you're not saved. And you don't look upon yourself as an enemy of the cross of Christ. Well, as far as the Bible is concerned, and as far as the Word of God is concerned, you are an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because you have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and because you have never experienced forgiveness for your sins and know nothing of God's saving grace in your life, then you're the enemy of the cross of Christ. Turn over to Romans 8 for a moment and take a look at verse 7 and 8. And you read these words. Here again, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is what Paul says in verse 7 of Romans 8. Because the carnal mind, or the natural mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, verse 8. So then they that are in their sins, cannot please God. In other words, the natural man, or the man born in sin, and as we have already pointed out, we were all born in sin, the natural man is the enemy of God. And because you're the enemy of God, then you are the enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, you only become a friend of Christ when you're saved. You only enter into the family of Christ when you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Therefore, if you're in the meeting today and you've never been saved and you've never been redeemed and your sins have never been forgiven, Jesus Christ is not your Savior, then you're the enemy of the cross of Christ. You see, everyone who rejects salvation through the cross, everyone who rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, is the enemy of the cross of Christ. And there are many who are walking such a pathway. Take a look at Philippians 3 verse 18 again and notice exactly what it says. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The enemies of the cross are many. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ brings this out again when he was in his public ministry, when he spoke about the broad way and the narrow way. It's a text of scripture I'm sure that most are familiar with, but Just in case you're not familiar with it, let me read it to you in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There are many on the broad road which leads to destruction. There are many who have and are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. There are many who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And there are few, the Bible tells us, who are walking down the narrow way. There are few who are the friends of Christ. I wonder today, are you found here without a Savior? Are you found in church today without Christ and without God and without hope in this world? Are you among those who are still resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life and saying no to His free offer of salvation? Well, friend, I don't care if you come to church every week. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how many in your family saved. If you're not saved, then you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. Because up until this point in your life, you have refused to yield to Him and to accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Now, if you take a look at the text again, you learn something else here. You learn, secondly, about the pursuit and devotion of every enemy of the cross of Christ. Verse 18 says, "For many walk," and then look at the end of verse 19, "whose God is their belly," underline this, "and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." In verse 19, we have a threefold description of how the ungodly walk and live upon this earth. Here we see the motivation and the daily pursuit and devotion of the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. Underline that phrase. In other words, the ungodly walk after the flesh, or they walk after the things of this world. The desire and devotion of the unsaved are the pleasures and sins of this age. They live for themselves and serve self. They do not live for Christ nor love Christ. They live and love the world. Indeed, look at the second phrase. It says their glory is in their shame. In other words, the ungodly glory in their sin. They love their sin. They not only want their sin, but they love their sin. They live for their sin. Their motivation in life is to glory in their wickedness. That's what the phrase means. And then it says here that they mind earthly things. In other words, they pride in their sin. Romans 8 verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." In other words, the world is the only thought that occupies their thinking. The only thing that occupies their thinking is sin, is how they can live in the pleasures of the world and how they can get the pleasures of the world. They run after the world and the things of this world. That's the pursuit and devotion and motivation of the enemies of the cross of Christ. This is the pursuit and devotion of every one who is the enemy of Christ. Of every unsaved person that has ever lived upon this earth. The truth is that the unsaved love the world, pursue after the sins of the world, and devote themselves to living for the pleasures of the world. The truth is the enemies of the cross of Christ are the friends of the world. And we all know what the Bible says concerning those who befriend the world. In James 4 verse 4, we read, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's why the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is how the ungodly walk. This is how the enemies of the cross of Christ live. Turn over just for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. In this chapter, we have this same description of the ungodly. Paul in this chapter is reminding the Christians at Ephesus what they were before they were saved. And as Paul considers the past life of these saints, he reminds us of the pursuit and devotion of every enemy of the cross of Christ. Look what it says in Ephesians 2 verse 1. Now remember, Paul's writing to those who are now saved. But as he writes to the Christians at Ephesus, he's reminding them of what they once were. And what were they? They once were the enemies of the cross of Christ. Before they were converted, before they were saved. And as the enemies of Christ, they walked after the things of this world and ran after the sins of this world and were controlled by the power of hell. Look at verse 1. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that? This is a description of the natural man, or the sinful man, or the man who is the enemy of Christ. He is one who pursues after the things of this world instead of pursuing after the things of God. He loves sin and he loves the sins of this age instead of loving God and loving Christ and loving his word and loving to walk in the path of righteousness. When you compare the natural man with the godly man, what a difference we have. When you compare the unsaved man with the man that has been delivered from the power of darkness, what a contrast there is. Turn over to Psalm 1. I'm sure it's familiar to you, but let us read it. Here we have that contrast. In verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, or the enemies of the cross of Christ are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we'll say more about that just in a moment. But you can see there the contrast. Oh my friend, if you're not saved today, the Bible declares that you're the enemy of the cross of Christ. And if you're the enemy of the cross of Christ, then you're walking down the broad road. And you're living in sin and for sin. And you know that in your own heart and life. That's why you don't want to come to Christ and be saved. That's why you want to keep on resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't want the Lord in your life. You don't want to walk in the path of righteousness. You don't want the restrictions of the Bible. You don't want the restrictions that the Holy Spirit will lay upon you if you were to get saved. You want to live your own life in your own way and do your own thing and pursue your own pathway. Well, that's exactly what Paul is saying here when he describes the enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh, I pray today that the Lord will speak to your heart and reveal unto you your great need of God's salvation. You see, there's something else I want you to notice here. And this is very sad. I want you to notice the destiny of every enemy of the cross of Christ. Look what it says at the beginning of verse 19. And I want you to underline these words. And if you're not saved, if you have a Bible in front of you, and if you haven't got a Bible in front of you, there's one in the pew. Lift it out. Open it at Philippians 3 and verse 19 and read these words for yourself. Whose end is destruction. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You see, the final destiny of every enemy of the cross is destruction. Now that word destruction there, it literally means this, lost. To be lost. To be lost means to live and die without hope. Not only to die without hope, but to live without hope. You see, the man, the woman who's not saved has no hope. Now, if when you talk to them, you wouldn't think that. And I have talked to many without the Savior. And when you ask them about dying and going out into eternity, they'll say, well, I hope I'll get to heaven. There's not a chance of it. There's not a chance of them getting to heaven. My friend, if you're not saved in this meeting today, there's not a chance of you getting into heaven. Because you've no hope. Because the Bible says here, whose end is destruction. Whose end is loss. What an awful way to live and to die. Without God in your life, without Christ in your life, without hope for eternity. I want you to notice three things about this destruction. Very quickly, this destruction or this loss, it means hell. That's what it means. Because when someone dies as an enemy of the cross, rejecting God's salvation and saying no to his free offer of redemption, the moment that soul dies and goes out into eternity, they drop down into hell. The Bible says that hell and destruction are never full. And of course, the Bible tells us that when a man dies without Christ, that soul goes down into a lost eternity. In hell, the sinner will suffer the loss of all things. Hell is a place of loss. The loss of soul, the loss of body, the loss of mind, the loss of peace, the loss of happiness, the loss of everything. I want you today to realize if you're found in this meeting and you're not saved, my friend, when you end up in hell, you will have lost everything. Everything. You will have lost your friends, or so-called friends, that you had upon this earth. And you'll be in hell, in the torments of the flames of hell, for all eternity. And my, what a sad reality that is. But that's what the Bible is teaching here. Their end is destruction. This destruction will be self-inflicted. You'll not be able to blame anyone when you end up on a Christless eternity. Turn over just for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 2 for a moment. There's an interesting text of scripture there about those who receive the destruction of God because of their sin and because of their refusal to come and be saved. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. So these people are not saved, these false prophets that deny the Lord. And look at what it says at the end of the verse. And bring upon themselves. That's the part I want you to underline. They bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, although this text is speaking specifically about the false prophets, it can be applied to all the enemies of the cross of Christ. And it says of those who deny the Lord and reject Christ as their Savior, that they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh, the truth is, my friend, that if you end up in a lost sinner's hell, then it will be your own fault. You'll not blame God, you'll not blame your friends, you'll not blame other Christians, you'll not blame your family, you'll not blame this one or that one. It will be self-inflicted. And there's something else I want you to notice. Take a look at verse 19 of Philippians 3 again. This destruction will be final. It says, whose end, underline that little phrase there, whose end is destruction. This is final, which means that it is everlasting. Oh, sometimes when the gospel goes forth, indeed, most of the times when the gospel goes forth, the unsaved are sitting under the sound of the gospel and the message of the gospel goes forth. All the sinner wants to do is to close their ears. All they want to do is to get out of the meeting. All they want to do is to forget about the preaching. And maybe 5 minutes after you leave the service today, what I have said will be forgotten about. Oh, I pray that that will not be the case. But I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would take His word and apply it upon your heart and upon your soul. Because my friend, this very moment as you're gathered here in God's house, whether you like to admit it or not, you are the enemy of the cross of Christ. You're pursuing and running after the things of this world, and your end, the Bible says, is destruction. And that end will be final. Because there's no getting out of hell. There's a great gulf fixed. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in Luke chapter 16? When the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell, there's a great gulf fixed. There's no getting out of this place. Oh, I pray today that God will take His word and speak to your soul. My friend, you need to flee to Christ. And you need to come and trust Him as your own and personal Redeemer. I wonder, did you notice verse 20 and 21? We'll be looking at verse 21 tonight. But I want you to notice what a contrast there is here compared to the end of the unsaved with the end of the saints of God. Look what it says in verse 20. For our, Paul comes to speak about himself and the saints at Philippi, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The end of the unsaved is destruction. But then Paul goes on to speak about the end of the saints of God. And the end of those who are saved is heaven. Because we are the citizens of heaven. Praise God, because we're in the family of God, someday we're going to be in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. And that's the contrast. My friend, if you're not saved and you die in that state, you will receive an incorruptible body that will suffer in hell for all eternity. And the saints of God will receive an incorruptible body, a new body, that will be in heaven to reign with Christ throughout the countless ages of eternity. What a contrast. What a contrast. Oh, I wonder at the end of this service today, as you have sat again under the sound of the gospel, as you have heard the word of God, I wonder, how will you respond to it this afternoon? Will you respond to it as you have been responding to it by rejecting the message of the gospel? Just think about it for a moment. The cross of Christ. You know, when I think of the cross of Christ, I think of the love of God to sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
The Lord Jesus went to the cross in order to die for your sins and for my sins, in order to give us eternal life, in order to pay the price of our redemption upon the cross. When I think of the cross, I think of the willingness of the Savior to lay down his life, a ransom for the many. There's love at the cross, there's mercy at the cross, there's forgiveness at the cross, there's redemption at the cross, there's eternal life at the cross. And my friend, you today can come as a sinner and confess your sin to the Lord and bow at the foot of the cross by faith and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you do so, you can leave this meeting knowing that you're on your way to heaven. How could you be an enemy of a cross today? How could you keep on going on in your sin, saying no to his free offer of salvation, when the cross means so much? And yet it means nothing to you. What does the cross of Christ mean to you? If you're not saved, it means nothing, because you're the enemy of the cross of Christ. Why would you want to be an enemy of Christ? Why would you want to be an enemy of a place that points us to the love of God? And yet you are. Strange, isn't it? You're rejecting God's love, in other words. Will you reject it again today? You're saying no to his free offer of salvation. Will you say no to it today again? Oh, don't be foolish. But come and trust the Lord. Come and accept him as your Savior. Come and turn from your sin. Turn from the broad road that's leading to destruction that you're on. And come to Christ and start walking on that narrow road which leads to heaven and to home. The enemies of the cross of Christ. Are you one of them today? Let us all pray.